As Jesus came out of the temple and was going away, his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. Jesus asked them, "You see all these, don't you? Truly I tell you, not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Jesus answered them, "Beware that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, and the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All this is the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will hand you over to be tortured, and they will put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Then many will fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." This is the gospel of our Lord. In the name of Jesus, who is Lord of every authority. Amen.
Amen.
2 weeks ago, our journey through the gospel climaxed to that moment where Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey to the applause and the cheering of the crowds. And then last week, after Jesus had cleared the temple, we learned that he went back to Bethany for the night. And then the next morning, he went out and he went back to the temple, but along his way, remember, he saw a fig tree. A fig tree that had borne no fruit. He cursed this fig tree and it shriveled up and died instantly. And we learned that that fig tree was so symbolic of everything that Jesus was encountering as he encountered the temple and the rulers and the whole system that surrounded that. And so Jesus confronted them in the temple that day after he cursed the fig tree, told three parables to them about bearing fruit and how they were not faithfully bearing the fruit that God had called them to bear. The love, the mercy, the compassion. And then the leaders went back at Jesus and they attacked him three times trying to trap him. Each time he was able to answer them. And they were no longer willing to challenge him or question him any longer. And then Jesus closed our time last week by going on the offensive. By telling these rulers, actually telling his disciples in the crowds, that these rulers were hypocrites. And what did he identify as their central error? The fact that they were trying to exalt themselves. Because of their exalting of themselves, they were going to be humbled. But Jesus told them, if you humble yourself, God will exalt you. And so our text picks up today with Jesus, after this final offensive against these rulers, he walks out of the temple of the Lord for the very last time. In a sense, washing his hands of the whole thing. And as he's coming out of the temple, his disciples are kind of straggling behind him, and they start looking around at all of the beautiful buildings of the temple complex. Something that had been originally built by Solomon, but then destroyed in 586 BC. And then 70 years after it had been destroyed in the 500s, they had started rebuilding it. But it was small and weak and kind of pathetic compared to the way Solomon had built it. But in the last 100 years, Herod the Great and his family had worked to make the temple complex something extraordinary, even to the level that Solomon had built it. And the disciples are marveling at these buildings, thinking, look at the beauty of our culture and what we can do as God's people. Look at what we have done and what we have built. And they're marveling at that. Jesus then asked them, he says, do you see these beautiful buildings, this temple? Truly I tell you, not one stone will be left on another. All will be torn down. Remember Jesus' words from last week. Those who exalt and build themselves up will be torn down. But those who humble themselves, God will exalt. And so they continue on to the Mount of Olives. And if you're familiar with the geography of Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives sits opposite of Mount Zion, where the temple sits. And so they're sitting on Mount of Olives, looking over at the Temple Mount, looking again at these beautiful buildings. And the disciples come to Jesus privately and they say, so tell us, when is this going to be torn down? When will this be? What will then be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus answers them, beware that no one leads you astray. He tells them that many will come in his name. Many will claim to be messiahs, Christ's kings, leaders of God's people to bring the real revolution against Rome. He says, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but don't be alarmed. Wars are not the end. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes. The very earth itself will groan. He says, this is the beginning of the birth pain. And notice that metaphor, the birth pain. All of the turmoil that Jesus will be talking about in this text is like a woman going into labor. A time of suffering, a time of fear, a time where there might be great loss, but at the other end, there's new life. And birth comes from that pain and that suffering. He says, then they will hand you over to be tortured. They'll put you to death. You'll be hated by all nations because of me. Many will start falling away. They will betray one another. More false prophets will arise. There will be chaos everywhere. And in the face of all the madness, people's love will grow cold. He says, but the one who endures to the very end through this will be saved. He says, the gospel of the kingdom will be claimed throughout the whole Oikumene, the whole civilized world, through all of Rome, as a testimony to the nations, and the end will come. Then he goes on to say, so when you see the desolating sacrilege standing in the holy place that was spoken of by the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand, it says, then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. The prophet Daniel had spoken of the time when God's temple was defiled, the times when previously, when Babylon had destroyed the temple, they had defiled the Holy of Holies, that center place where no human being was supposed to go. And then in 167 BC, just a couple hundred years before Jesus, Antiochus Epiphanes IV, a Greek ruler had gone into the Holy of Holies and desecrated this most sacred place. It was the desolating sacrilege that showed that God might have abandoned his people because the man lived through this. Because those who walked in the presence of God were supposed to die. So Jesus says, when you see this kind of desolating sacrilege, let those who live around Jerusalem and Judea run for your lives. Pray that in that day you're not pregnant or nursing, or that it's not winter or the Sabbath. For there will be such great suffering in that time that if God were not to cut that suffering short, nothing and no one would survive. And again, he reminds them, watch out for false messiahs. They're going to come in my name and try to lead you astray. And he tells them, where the corpses, there the eagles will gather. And he says, immediately after the suffering of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then the sign, remember they asked, what was the sign? The sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his messengers with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And he points to the fig tree again. Remember, or learn the lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its branch begins to bud and put forth leaves, you know that summer is eventually around the corner. So too, when these signs that I speak of start happening, is coming, is right around the corner. And then he tells us something very important for understanding what's going on. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away. This generation, until everything is taken place. And then he says also, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And then he gives us another important line. But about that day and hour specifically, nobody knows. Neither the messengers of heaven, nor the Son himself, but only the Father. So Jesus gives them this picture and says, these are the kind of signs that are going to happen. But I don't even know exactly what this is going to look like. I don't even know the order of these signs. So you must not get married to the order of the text, but instead look for the signs, however they may appear. And so his final warning to them is to be alert, to be ready, because this is going to come upon the world just like the flood came upon the world, like the days of Noah, where people kept on living their lives thinking everything was fine. But then suddenly, like a trap, their whole world changed around them. So he tells them to keep awake. Be ready. So how are we to understand this text? A text that has been so confusing throughout the generations, a text that many have speculated in so many different directions. Is this about the future? Is it about the past? What's going on now? We must start with Jesus' own words. All these things will be fulfilled in this generation. Keep alert, stay awake. A little more than a week, we will celebrate Maundy Thursday, where Jesus' disciples will go into the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus will again tell them to what? Stay awake. Be ready, because the hour is right at hand. And they're going to fall asleep, and Jesus is going to go and pray diligently to his Father. And he's going to come back and wake them up and tell them again, stay awake, be ready. The hour is at hand. Everything that I have been telling you about is about to happen. But they fall asleep. And then what happens? Suddenly in that moment, Judas shows up. And what Jesus had been talking about in this text begins to be fulfilled again. They will betray you. They will hand you over. Jesus will be betrayed by Judas. Peter will deny him. Many will start falling away. All of Jesus' disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane will flee into the night. They will torture you and hand you over to death. Jesus will be beaten and tortured on Good Friday, and then he will ultimately be handed over to death. And all of his people will begin to be hated because of his name. And false prophets and messiahs will arise. And on Good Friday, in Jesus' trial, there will rise a figure named Barabbas. Jesus Barabbas, coming in Jesus' name. Barabbas meaning son of the Father. And he will be an alternative messiah figure. Who will the people choose? They end up choosing Jesus Barabbas, not Jesus of Nazareth. And this false messiah will lead them astray so that they kill the true messiah. And Jesus also told them that in that day, where the corpse is, there the eagles will gather. And as Jesus is crucified and dies on the cross, his corpse hanging there, the eagles were gathered around. The eagles being the Roman soldiers. For the eagle was the emblem that all the Roman soldiers carried. And he also told them, in that day the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. The sun will go dark at the crucifixion of Jesus. An earthquake will happen and everything will be shaken. And even at his resurrection to come, there will be another earthquake. He says, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens. As Jesus is lifted up on that cross from the earth, suspended in the heavens, Jesus hanging on the cross will be the sign
they were supposed to look for. And it says, all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will beat their breasts at the bottom of the cross, crying out at the terror that is happening, the spectacle before them. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And Jesus will be raised from the dead 3 days later, and he will be this Son of Man vindicated by God. And he will send out his messengers, and they will gather his elect from the four winds. And at the tomb, at the resurrection, the women will be sent out to gather the lost who have fallen away and scattered to the four winds. And remember Jesus' words, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Jesus faithfully walks the road of faithfulness to his Father, and in the end, he is rescued from death. It cannot hold him. And then the desolating sacrilege. This will occur in that generation starting around 66 AD. There will be a revolt that the Jewish people will rise up against the Roman Empire. Many more Messiah figures will rise up in that time, and there will be wars and rumors of war, and the nations will start going to battle against one another. And Rome will send in their legions against Jerusalem, surround Jerusalem, and there will be famine times. The people will be starving in the midst of Jerusalem as they are dying within it. And finally, the general Titus will go into Jerusalem, break through the walls, create sacrilege within the Holy of Holies, and burn down the entire temple complex. And there, not one stone will be left upon another, as Jerusalem and everything that God's people had built, what they had exalted for themselves, will come crumbling down. Jesus was right, as much as the scholars may say he was wrong. All these things did take place within his very generation. But this does not get us off the hook, because verse 35, where Jesus says, heaven and earth will continue to move forward, but my words will not. He is telling us that these signs, these warnings, that do fit the very generation in which he lived, will continue to hold true to our very day. Every generation will follow a similar pattern. And so Jesus' exhortations matter to us this day in our world, in our context. Will we be alert, awake, and ready to look for the signs of Jesus coming into our world in this generation? Will we have the eyes to see the way that he breaks into the world? Or will we miss it like the disciples? The disciples who looked at the cross and did not see God's kingdom come in power, but saw failure. Will we see the signs of God living and working in our generation? Will we be ready to stand faithful in this generation to the very end? Or will we betray one another and fall away as soon as the going gets tough? Not one stone will be left on another. Will we continue to invest in the things that we build up for ourselves, the ways that we exalt ourselves in the world, only to come crashing down in a heap of rubble? Or will we stay low and humble, servants in the way of Jesus, trusting our Heavenly Father to rescue us, to save us, because he will not abandon his creation? And even going back to the Tower of Babel in Genesis, another reminder of the picture of the things that we try to build as we work together in our world. Will we invest in those things only to have them crush us in the end? Or will we see the way of life that Jesus is calling us? We boldly follow because we know his God saved him from death, his God will save us too. May we trust in that God. May we see the path that Jesus walks and have hope that even as the world crumbles around us, God will never abandon us.